you and thank you this morning that you are here with us, watching over us. We just bow in your presence to thank you for your goodness and mercy and love to us. Thank you for the rich admonition and encouragement we've received from your word already this morning. Help us, Lord, to love the pure, true word of God, to treasure it, to honor it, to order our lives according to it, and to live by it from day to day, and not by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from your mouth. Father, we thank you for Brother Harvey, his willingness to be with us today and preach to us here this morning. We pray that you would fill him with the Holy Ghost and anoint him with your power and your fire. Bless him, O God, as he speaks to us. And we'll pray that your word would come forth from him with freedom and power, that you would give him direction and utterance even while he's speaking. Bless these words to our hearts together, that we may hear, have ears to hear what you're saying to our hearts here today as a congregation. We thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Allen. It's certainly an opportunity and a great pleasure to be able to fellowship with you for the first time. Though as I was sitting in your audience this morning, I had a sense and feeling that we all have come through the same way. And that's under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that makes us brothers and sisters. Though we live in Pennsylvania and you live in Indiana, we still are adopted sons and daughters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that makes us family. As Brother Allen indicated, I got to meet him last year at the minister's conference. It was a pleasure. And fellowship with him again this year at the minister's conference there in Ohio. Another great blessing. And I just want to, at this time, I could not say that at the minister's conference. I tried to say it to as many as I could. Thank you for all that had taken part and given of your time, talents, food, and whatever else it took to make that a success. May the Lord richly bless you. My wife and I have been married for 49 years. We have four children, all married. Our oldest daughter is born in British Columbia, Canada, in a little hospital in McBride in the middle of the Rockies along the Fraser River. We lived there in 1967 and 1968. We moved back to Pennsylvania towards the end of 1968. We logged in Canada. So we understand how the rugged life in the Rockies exists. Our four children are all married. We have two girls, the oldest, and two boys, the youngest. We're blessed with a good number of grandchildren, to which we give God the praise, the honor, and the glory. We fellowship in a little fellowship in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And serve the same God that you serve. As I look out over the congregation here this morning, I can certainly see that it has a potential to continue to grow. A lot of youth in their prime. My encouragement to you is, don't give up. Don't give up. God is good all the time. It's we who move away from God. God does not move away from us. So if you want to stay in contact with God, find yourself under that, as our brother ably led us in Sunday school there, find yourself under that shade that God provides and stay there. As I called Brother Allen last night, I had no intentions of being where I'm at here. I just wanted the fellowship. And so Brother Allen and I talked a little bit, and we hung up. And lo and behold, he calls me back. He says, would you consider a message this morning for us? And I know you all know Brother Allen better than I do, but when Brother Allen reaches around you, you can't say no. Isn't that wonderful? It's just like our Savior when He reaches around you and gives you that assurance. You can't say no. What will you have me to do, Lord? Send me. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? And so, as I was pondering, you know, what do y'all need here this morning? What do I need this morning? And I was led to a thought that I've been sort of bringing to our own home congregation. I don't spend a lot of time on it Sunday after Sunday. But I do remind our home congregation at times, just as a reminder that we are living in perilous times. We are living in the end times. We're living in times when we need to prepare ourselves because God is going to soon send His Son Jesus to gather His bride to be with Himself. The question will be, are you ready and am I ready? We're living in perilous times. And so I'd like to turn to a thought here this morning that, as I indicated, we've looked at by times in our own home congregation. But before I get into the message this morning, I'm one that does like to sing. And I have to tell you, in our home congregation, the rafters rattle. We open our mouth. We all do. And we just lift our voice up to God in praise and adoration. And so I have a little chorus that I always sing. That's a blessing to me. And I hope it's a blessing to you. Join in. I'm sure you all know this is a day that the Lord has made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the to take full advantage of this opportunity, because we'll never have this opportunity again. We're going to take full advantage of us. Turn with me to Revelations chapter 13. Revelations chapter 13. We're going to break in towards the end of that chapter. We're going to read a few verses and then we're going to reference Revelations chapter 14 a little. I am not a prophet, nor am I a son of a prophet. But Jesus clearly indicated in His scriptures, when you see the fig tree buddeth, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I'm sure you're aware, as I am aware, as we indicated on the onstart, that we're living in troubled times. We're living in the end times. We're living in times when things are accelerating at a pace that we've never seen them accelerate in past history. Revelations chapter 13. We're going to break in at verse 11. And I behold another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwelleth on the earth by the means of these miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by his sword and did live. And he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Again, we just broke in here at the closing of chapter 13. Our topic, our title is, very clearly, the mark or no mark. The mark or no mark. As history has unfolded over the since the creation of Adam and Eve to our present age, there has been a desire, a burning desire, for those who have born, raised, grew up in some sense of royalty, some sense of power, some sense of authority, to be able to rule the entire world. You can go back to creation and move forward. The Tower of Babel. You keep moving forward. You can look at Nebuchadnezzar. You can look at the Medes and the Persians. You can look at the Assyrians. You can look at Napoleon. You can look at Alexander the Great. You can look at Hitler. Down through the ages, we have had men who had a burning desire to rule the world. But that has never, ever been accomplished. Keep that in mind. They tried. They tried. But now listen, we're living towards the end of the dispensation of grace. We're living in a time when the Antichrist will soon come. There will be a time when a single individual will rule the world. The mark or no mark. We are moving, and I'm sure this is not news to you, and I don't want you to go home gloomy here because it's an end time message. Cheer up. Look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. However, we're still in the present. We're still in the present. We are moving. We are moving towards what we would call a one world government. I don't know if it's next year. I don't know if it's the following year. Or the year after that, I don't know. But I do know it's very soon. Very soon. Not only are we moving towards a one world government, but we're also moving towards a one world currency. Bearing in mind, if there can be a singular ruler, he has to be able to manage how currency comes and goes, how it's made, how it's distributed, what's value, and who can have it. We're moving towards a one world currency. We're not going to get into the details. We don't have time for all that. But just think about it. Think about it. What you now have in your bank, your savings, when this is implemented, will have no value. Will have no value. So we're moving toward a one world currency, towards a one world leadership. The mark or no mark. Now you would say to yourself, well, I can handle that. I've been through some tough times. I've seen some tough times. My father and my grandfather, or my great-grandfather, they come through the Great Depression. They understand what tough times are in a world of chaos. And I agree. They've come through some tough times. They've come through some terrible times. Trying times. But that's going to pale to what's in the future. It's going to pale to what's in the future. Yes, maybe you could cope with that. With God's grace, you may be able to cope with all that. One world currency. One world leadership. But the next thought is, we're moving towards one world religion. And that's where you and I come in this morning. One world religion. And you can be assured of this, that it's not going to be on the same standard and platform that you have adopted here today. It is not going to be. One world religion. The mark or no mark. Now, as we've outlined the three major events that will take place, we've already alluded to this in our second one around the one world currency. Think about it. What did we just read? He says in verse 16, and he causes all, both small and great. Now listen to this. This is A double L, underline it in your Bible. You're not excluded and neither am I. A-L-L, all. That's the world populace that exists when this is implemented. We've got over 7 billion people in the world today. There may be a little more when this is implemented. But just bear in mind, 7 billion people. That's all. Both what? Both great and small. What else does he say? He says, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. That's all inclusive. To receive a mark, you choose. The mark or no mark. You choose. All they're going to say, you have to do it. But you choose. The mark or no mark. And what does he say? He says, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might, what? Now listen to this, buy or sell. What did we just allude to? That the money that you have in your bank accounts, under your mattress, in a tin under the ground, I don't care where you got it, it has no value. The new currency that will be used will be far different than what we have here today. Now, I'd like to spend just a little time here in this thought around to buy and sell. He says, no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name, or the number of the name, either in your hand or in your forehead. And that technology, we don't have time to get into that, is here today. That can be already implemented. But I want to spend a little time here around buying and selling. You probably never thought about it a whole lot. But I just want to give you some outline here around what that means for you and for me. The mark, no mark. If you decide that you will not accept the mark, let me explain to you very clearly that you will be a marked person. You either accept their mark and become one of them, or say no and become a marked person in society and your communities. Buying and selling. You say, well, I can live on my farm. I can live on my little garden plot. I can provide for myself. But can you? Let me outline some things here that you'll not be able to do. First of all, we're not going to be able to be here if that is implemented and you as a congregation say no, these lights go out. Think about it. All the electricity that you have running to your home stops. No electricity. None. Because you can't be able to buy it because you don't have the mark. You're going to pull up to the gas station to buy fuel. And they're going to ask you for the mark. You don't have it. You drive away empty. And a car is parked. No fuel. No electricity. Now the large farmers. Or the semi-large farmers. Or the poultry producers. What are you going to do? Think about it. What are you going to do? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to bring an awareness around. When this unfolds, we need to be able to be rooted and grounded on the rock Christ Jesus. Because times are going to become perilous for you and me. We think it's perilous now. But when we are marked as not one of them, then we will suffer immense persecution. We're going to suffer immense persecution. So no electricity. No fuel for your automobiles. No fuel for your tractors. No propane for your poultry houses. No natural gas for your turkey buildings. None. It stops. It stops. So now, what are we looking at? What are we looking at? We're looking at a time and a period when Jesus is suggesting in the Bible there's going to be a sifting. There's going to be a sorting. There is going to be a seeking as we have never sought before. That we were going to be wholly dependent on God, our Creator and our Maker, in all things. You say you trust Him now, and I believe you do, as well as I trust Him. But when we come to this time in society, as I indicated, you all are a fairly young congregation. You're probably going to see this unfold. I'm turning towards 80. I may or may not see it. But if I do, like you, will I be able to trust God as I trust Him now? That's all He's asking of you and me. Will you, can you trust me in all things? And see, that's the question. We need to resolve it today. Yes, Lord, I can trust you in all things. Well, I think I can, Lord. Maybe I can. We need to have it settled right now. Yes, Lord, no matter what you take me through, I am going to trust you even if they take my life. I will trust you in all things. And so you see, when this mark is implemented, the mark or no mark. It's going to be a personal choice. The millions will rush, and the mark will be implemented in their hand or forehead. They will be able to buy and sell freely. Those who do not accept the mark will not be able to buy or sell anything. Think about it. You name it. If you buy it, you won't get it. You say, well, I can still live in my garden. Will you? How long can you keep growing your seeds year after year? Can't buy any new ones. And with the genetics in some of the seeds, they're only good for 1 year. They produce new seeds, but genetically, they won't grow again. They may grow a plant, but they won't grow no fruit. What we need to be able to do is understand. I just want to bring an understanding around here this morning that what we need to do is just understand that God is still in control. That He is still in control. It looks like chaos. It looks like great suffering. It looks like great persecution. It looks like as if maybe God sort of turned His head a little bit and doesn't know that we're here. No, that'll never happen. Only happened once. Only happened once. It's not going to happen again. It's not going to happen again. Jesus is right here beside you today. He's going to be beside you then. And He's going to reach His arms around you. And He's going to say, I love you. I love you. Can you still trust me? Yes, Jesus, I can. I will. No matter what they do, I will. And you know, we look at this as an individual. Personal choice, and it is. But you all have young families here this morning. It's going to be tough on you to make choices when you have young children. It's not going to be easy. But I have to encourage you, hold fast. Don't give up. Now, I'd like to just lay a picture out for the two groups as we sort of wind down through this message here this morning. The mark or no mark. We find in Revelation chapter 14, verses 9, 10, 11. We're going to start reading at verse 9. It says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Now, did you just follow along? Did you just grasp what we read? This is the angel of God speaking to John here. And John penned these words many years ago. And we now have them. About 2,000 years ago, give or take a little bit, John penned these words as the angel spoke. This is from on high. He said, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, and the same shall drink of the wine of wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture unto the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. The mark or no mark. Those who receive the mark, there is, I have to tell you this morning on the authority of God, there is no turning back. You're doomed. You're lost. He says, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark. Their day is coming. They may seem to have had the upper hand during this period in which God will allow it to unfold. But their day is coming. Judgment is coming. So I want you to think about that. Hell is a real place where real souls are going to reside. And that eventually, at the end, the very end, God's going to roll that all up and cast it into the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. There is no comfort. There's no satisfaction. There's no consolation. There's no love. There's no peace. There's no joy. Only torment. Only torment. Can we envision that this morning? A place that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. But all those who have not their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God has no choice but to cast them in the same place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, because God cannot look at or tolerate sin. The mark or no mark? What will it be? What will it be? The multitude will flock, beyond a shadow of a doubt, to receive the mark. Now let's turn the corner a little bit. Primarily, that's for those who receive the mark. And I trust that we're looking at individuals here this morning that's going to say, no. No. Just as the three Hebrew children said, we will not bow before your image. We will not bow. Into the fire you go. What do you say about that? That's okay. That's okay. Because we're trusting in the true and the living God. We're still not going to bow for your image. And if he desires, he can save us. If not, we're ready to go. Hallelujah. We're ready to go. For those who choose to say no, for you that choose to say no, you will be kept in the safety and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can assure you that you will be kept in the safety and the security of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you all like the buts too, don't you? They changed the whole thought. I just made a statement here just a second or two ago that you will be kept. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You will be kept. But you may. You may be cast into prison. Think about it. You may be cast into prison, separated from your family, your loved ones. You may be persecuted or tormented. You may. Does that annul cast aside the fact that I just said earlier you will be kept in the safety and the love of the Lord Jesus? No, you're still there. He will keep you. He's really not worried too much, although he is, don't misunderstand, of what this old flesh and blood is. He wants to know what the soul and the heart of your makeup is. That's where he wants you to have him in your life and in my life. He wants to be Lord of your life. All of your life. All the time. And so you may be cast into prison. But you're still in the safety of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did Paul and Silas find themselves? Did they find themselves sitting at a Cracker Barrel that evening there, enjoying a nice meal? They were thrust into the inner prison. They were beaten. They were in chains. They were in stocks. They could hardly move. It was dark, damp, musty, moldy, rats running around, and spiders. But where was the love of God at? Woo! Right in that prison. They were filled and they were thrilled and they were singing. Hallelujah. Souls were brought into the kingdom because of their obedience. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is still there. Those stripes weren't pleasant to the flesh. Trust me, they're not pleasant. I never was beaten with a whip. And I trust that if I am, that I can have the same grace and humility that Paul and Silas had, as our Lord Jesus Christ had. As he hung on the cross, he looked out over the audience, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can I have that spirit? Can you have that spirit? We're living in end times. The mark or no mark? You may be cast into prison. You may be persecuted. You may be tormented beyond what the old flesh can bear. And again, God's going to have to give ample grace. Do you think our martyrs, when they were tied on the platform and the kindling was put underneath the platform and they were roped fast and the kindling was set afire and they were burned alive? Do you think that was an easy death? That was a pleasant death? No. But God's grace is sufficient in the hour and time of need. He will give that to you and to me. Again, it's based on our choice. We can say today that I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise God, we should be saying that. But let's grow deeper. Let's grow deeper. Let's get a little more a footing on this rock, Christ Jesus. Yes, if you choose no mark, you will be kept in the safety and the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you may be cast into prison. You may be tortured. And we're not going to get into the details of that. Men just have evil imaginations. Think about it. The worst that can happen, they can simply say, you're of no more value to us. Tomorrow, you'll be executed. That's going to happen. When they feel that they have no more value to gain from you, that you cannot advance their agenda because you're holding fast to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your testimony is sure and true and steadfast, unwavering. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, you'll be executed. Is it all that bad? The Apostle Paul says, to die is what? Gain. Hallelujah. Endless gain. Endless gain. What have you to lose? What have I to lose? Nothing. But we have it all to gain. We have it all to gain. We have it all to gain. And if we have doing, and if we have did what we should be doing, going forward, our family, our children, and our friends are going to be rooted and grounded just as we were. And we can meet them in glory. Isn't that wonderful? David, when his son died, they were troubled because he mourned, he prayed, he fasted until he died. When he was notified that his son had died, he rose up, he washed himself, and he ate. He said, "We don't understand. We don't understand. Why?" He says, "I cannot." He says, "I cannot bring him back. God has taken him. But just one thing I know. I can meet him over there." Can we have that assurance today? Yes, we can. We can have that assurance today. That if they take your life or my life as individuals, and they surely will, that we have rooted and grounded our families and our friends and our neighbors in the same faith, the same trust, the same assurance that we had, that they'll have, and they'll hold fast to the end. What a glorious thought. What a glorious thought. And so verse 12 and 13 confirms that. In chapter 14, he says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, write, John, write. Don't let this out. Write, John. They got to have that. They need that." He says, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." Isn't that a blessed verse? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that comforting? Isn't that assuring? That we can let a legacy in the world that is unshakable, unmovable. Something that one could look at and could step back and evaluate and say, there's a brother, there's a sister that trusted wholly in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessed testimony. What a legacy that we can leave to a very dark and sinful world. Our brother mentioned here this morning, and it's tough to reach around thinking in one's mind how that the Jews rejected Jesus. Could they not see? Or did they not want to see? Or was it all the above? The mind, if God closes it, cannot see nor hear. They can't reach around it because they willingly accept what they have become involved in. So it's difficult to think that somehow, some way, that there would be a difference and that a few might be garnered in. And there might be. There might be. There may be those who accept no mark for a while, who've never had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. They'll be able to hold on for a while. Because this isn't going to happen in one day, one week. This is going to be implemented in the time, in a period of time. And so your life might reflect in a way that would bring them close to the Savior. to the foot of the cross. And there, they could find Jesus as their Savior. It's a thought. I don't know. It's just a thought. My question that I'm going to leave with you this morning as we close. What will your choice be? What will your choice be? If we are not rooted, if we are not rooted on the rock Christ Jesus now, in other words, if we have not let anchor secure us on the rock Christ Jesus now, when that time comes, most likely we'll make the wrong choice and be lost. So again, I'll let you with this question. What will your choice be? And believe me, we have a choice. We have a choice. What will your choice be? Let's become involved, engaged around our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him just overshadow us with His Spirit, with His wisdom and His strength, His consolation, that when that time comes, what will our choice be? We can say emphatically, beyond a shadow of a doubt, without stammering, without taking time to meditate, without saying, I need a little time to think about it. We'll just blurt it out. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I will not forsake Him, no matter what comes my way. He is mine, and I will live for Him, no matter what else may come. What will your choice be? You and the Lord.